With your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Let's sing, sing about the name of the Lord this morning.
And I just want to speak the name of Jesus. And over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. And I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Till every dark addiction starts to break.
Strong hope, shine through the shadows.
Speak Jesus. grace that flows like a river, washing over me. Fount of heaven, love of Christ, overflowing me. Thank you, Jesus, who said,
morning. Welcome to New Life Church. My name is Sean, and I'll be your host this morning. If you're a guest this morning, welcome. God bless you. We're so glad that you're here. We'd love to get to know you better and hear how we can come alongside you and help you get better connected to the community. So could I invite you to fill out a Connect card if you haven't already done so? And when you're done, please bring it to the info booth outside in the foyer, and we'd love to bless you with a gift bag. At New Life, one of the ways we share God's love with everyone is by blessing our guests with a small gift bag when they come. So even if you don't feel like filling out a Connect card, please don't hesitate to come and say hi and say that you're a guest, and we'd love to bless you with a gift bag. And for those of you joining us online this morning, welcome. God bless you as well. Please help us acknowledge your presence by dropping a comment to let us know your name and where you're watching from. And at this time, I would also like to welcome those of you who have been coming to church for a long time. And I know sometimes we don't acknowledge your presence in this place. And this morning, I just kind of sensed that the Holy Spirit was stirring in my heart to recognize and acknowledge that some of us, on a given Sunday, sometimes it can be very challenging to make our way to church and to be seated in the places where you're at, because, you know, sometimes in our lives, a lot of things happen, and it's even just challenging to get dressed and get out of bed and get out the door and to be at church. And for some of you who are in that place, welcome. God sees you, and we want to come alongside you, and if there's ways that we can be praying for you and support you, please don't hesitate to let me know or let any of the staff know, and we'd love to pray with you and come alongside you. At this time, I would like to invite all the children ages 3 to 5, as well as those in grades 1 through 5, to come to the front. We want to pray a blessing over you and your leaders as you head downstairs to continue in worship. So if you're a leader also serving in Little Lights or Kids Church this morning, please come down to the front as well. Congregation, let's extend our hand over these children and the leaders as we pray for them as they head downstairs to continue in their worship. So I invite you to extend your hand over them. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for children. We thank you that we see glimpses of joy and love and peace and excitement in their hearts, in their lives, Lord. And through that, we're made joyful. And we get excited. So, Father, we thank you for the gift of children in our lives. And we pray that you would bless them as they go downstairs to continue in worship. Lord, teach them. Reveal yourself to them. May they learn how much you love them and how much you are for them. Father, we also pray that you would bless the leaders that are leading Sunday school and teaching these children. We pray that you would help them, give them discernment, give them wisdom. Fill them with your Spirit as they lead and teach these children. We pray a blessing over this ministry, Lord. We pray that you would continue to dwell with them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Little Lights ages 3 to 5 and leaders, you can go out the door on my left and go downstairs. And Kids Church grades 1 through 5 and leaders could go down the stairs on my right through those. Every summer, we apply for grants for a summer internship. And so this year, New Life has been granted funding for two summer internship positions from Canada Summer Jobs. With this funding, we're excited to continue with summer ministries for youth and children. So we're currently taking applications from high school or college students for a youth ministry and a children's ministry intern position. The internship is for 8 weeks at 35 hours per week between June and September. So if you're interested or you would like more information or to apply, please visit newlifecrc.ca/employment. Or you could contact the office. Second announcement I have for you is that we have a work party that's happening this Saturday. So Saturday, May 13th at 9 a.m., we'll gather at the church. New Life Building and Grounds team is looking for volunteers to help with landscaping around the church. That is Saturday, May 13th at 9 a.m. If you're available to help out, please contact Jim Parasini, or you can contact the office and we'll get you connected. We continue our worship with an offering today for New Life Ministries. To highlight a couple ministries at New Life, one of the ministries at New Life is called GEMS, which stands for Girls Everywhere Meeting the Savior. It is a ministry for girls in grades 1 through 8, and they're away actually this weekend at Timberline Ranch for their annual camp. So please continue to pray for them. Also, we have a seniors ministry that's meeting for lunch today after service upstairs in room 303. This is open to anyone over 65. You can give your offering electronically in many different ways, or you could bring it to one of the offering boxes at the front during the fellowship time. So let's pray for the offering and the New Life Ministries. Father God, we thank you for what you're doing in this church. We thank you for the many ways that you're ministering and calling us to participate in what you're doing in this world through these ministries. So, Father, we pray for your blessing upon them. We pray for the leaders of these ministries. We pray especially for the GEMS camp right now. We pray for your blessing over them. And as they make their way back, Lord, we pray for your protection. We also pray for the seniors ministry. We pray that you would bless them as they meet for lunch after service today. And as they continue to fellowship and grow in community, we pray that they would grow in deeper in relationship with you and that you would grow their passion for you. We pray for all the ministries. We thank you for what you're doing in them, Lord. And we pray that you would be glorified through them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lastly, every Sunday we have 3-minute fellowship during our service. And during this time, we encourage you to greet someone you haven't met before and pass the peace of Christ to them. You can also give your offering during this time. And we're also going to play the song Tears in Heaven by Eric Clapton. We're currently in the sermon series called Radio Spirituality, where we examine modern songs in connection to Scripture. For those of you who are not familiar with the song, we'll play the song during fellowship time so you can listen to it during this time. So we'll now begin the 3-minute timer. Have a great Sunday.
happened? You didn't finish the song.
Well, it's 4 minutes.
All right. Well, good morning. Welcome again to New Life. So glad you're here. And before we get into that song and so on, I hope you heard the song. I usually listen to it probably 40 decibels higher than that, but let's come to God in prayer. God, as Sean acknowledged as well, perhaps we have come here this morning in all kinds of circumstances, with carrying all kinds of emotions and sentiments, burdens even. And so we pray, God, that you will speak to us this morning, that we can meet you and have the assurance of your presence in our lives. Remind us again of that, Father, as we gather here together, as we look into your word, and as we look around us and listen around us. Help us to hear your voice. God, we pray for people here who are grieving. Comfort them. We pray for people, God, who are struggling with the direction of their life. Pray, God, that you will guide them. Pray, God, for people whose life seems so disoriented and upside down. Pray, God, that your hand of blessing will place it right side up again. Be our God. Be our guide, be our shepherd, Father. We pray that in all of the circumstances of our life, we may see you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're in this series on radio spirituality. That is supposed to be a depiction of a CD. The lights make it not look like a CD, if you know what a CD is. I can't believe how quickly they went out of style. This series, Radio Spirituality, received a lot of feedback. People are appreciating it. A lot of people, I think, went home and listened to all of the U2 albums and stuff. You could probably recite them now, all that kind of stuff. I want to qualify my message because this is the only one that I'm doing in this series, and I'm doing it with a little bit of trepidation because I came late to pop music. I probably started listening to classic rock, probably grade 11, grade 12, something like that. I grew up in a family where it was always classical music or church music, and I didn't know anything different until, probably about grade 11, grade 12, and then through college, I became acquainted with classic rock and so on. And then, of course, my move to Chicago, spent years in Chicago. And there I fell in love, discovered the blues, especially the Chicago blues, and jazz. And I just love jazz. We'll talk a little bit more about that at the end of the message as well. But in my exploration of the blues, I discovered this artist, Eric Clapton. And Eric Clapton, if you know any of his music, you might be wondering, what is he doing in this series on radio spirituality? Maybe you know some of his tunes. He's well known as a the best guitarist, or at least the best blues guitarist around, although there are contenders. But shortly after he picked up playing the guitar and he rose to sudden fame. People just loved how he played the guitar to the point where, and it startled him, but somebody had graffitied a wall in London. He's from London, England. And it said, "Clapton is God." So you can imagine the fame to which he rose. But here, take a listen to some of the guitar riffs that, that Eric Clapton is known for. You might be able to recognize some of these. Here's the first one. Yeah, so we're not going to mention the name, the title of that song, but yeah, that is some guitar playing. Here's another one. Yeah, can you imagine a guitarist standing up here, starting that as a worship song? That would get me going, actually. Yeah, it would. What? One more. Listen to this guitar stuff. I don't know. Some people maybe don't get the thrill out of that, but man, that just tugs at me. That just, oh. Anyways, so Eric Clapton and his guitar. It's amazing. The songs that you've heard were about drugs, were about loving another man's wife, and about his alcoholism and how he's promising the love of his life that he'll never go back to it. I promise, I promise, I promise. It's bell-bottom blues. Some pretty raunchy stuff comes from Eric Clapton. But it also helps to know a little bit of the background of Eric Clapton. He was born in 1945. To a 16-year-old girl named Pat Clapton. And he was raised by his grandparents because Pat was too young, of course. And Eric Clapton's father was a Canadian soldier, already married, actually, had, gone to Europe for the war. And then quickly went back to Canada even before Eric was even born. And then Pat, his mom, went off to Germany with another soldier or something. So he was raised by his grandparents all along thinking that his mom was, in fact, just an older sister. And then probably at about 8 or 9 years old, he noticed that his, who he thought was his parents, they signed their name differently. Like, his name was Clapton. Their last name was Clap, C-L-A-P. And so he asked about that, and that's when they told him the story of his birth and his real identity. And that devastated him. Up until that point, he had just been a normal, rather reserved fella and did well in school. And after that, his personality just kind of collapsed, and he later on quit school, and then picked up the guitar, and then took off from there. And so that incident in his life left him sort of without identity, and it left him feeling displaced. Which perhaps is in part the reason for his extreme drug addiction and alcoholism, but it also helped him to identify with some of the great blues artists of the time, B.B. King, Buddy Guy, one of the greatest Chicago blues artists, and Muddy Waters, coming out of Mississippi, all of whom these artists also felt displaced. They rose to fame in a context where they were looked down upon. And so, which matches perfectly with the kind of and style of music that they played, this blues music, full of that displacement, full of that kind of angst, and chords rubbing against each other, syncopated rhythms that didn't at first seem to fit, and all of that stuff. And that reflected Eric Clapton's own view of himself. And so he took up the blues guitar as well and became famous for it. So then we get to this this song that some say epitomized his career, the Grammy-winning single, Tears in Heaven. It's a song that Eric Clapton wrote in 1992 when he lost his four-year-old son in a tragic accident. He fell out of a 55-story window in New York City while visiting friends. The son did, the son named Connor. So I wish we could play the, can we play the tune again? Is that too much work? Huh? Yeah. Can we play it? Just start it. I just want you to hear the opening lines, and then I'm going to read it for you. All right. Isn't that a lovely tune? It's just amazing. I think it is. Here it is. Would you know my name if I saw you in heaven? Would it be the same if I saw you in heaven? I must be strong and carry on because I know I don't belong here in heaven. Would you hold my hand if I saw you in heaven? Would you help me stand if I saw you in heaven? I'll find my way through night and day because I know I just can't stay here in heaven. Time can bring you down. Time can bend your knees. Time can break your heart. Have you begging, please. Beyond the door, there's peace, I'm sure. And I know there'll be no more tears in heaven. And then he finishes the song with some repetition. But heavy-duty words. So I want us to take a look at that song in parallel with a passage in the Gospel of John, John chapter 11. And it's the story about the raising of Lazarus from the dead. When Jesus first heard that Lazarus was sick, the disciples inform him, our best friend Lazarus is dead. Apparently Jesus was close to Lazarus and his sisters, Mary and Martha. But Jesus' response, when he's like, hey, Lazarus is really sick, he's going to die. And Jesus was like, well, let's just hang out here. And presumably, Jesus was probably up in Galilee, a two-day walk back down to where Lazarus was in Bethany, which was near Jerusalem. Jesus had just been in Jerusalem, and his life had been threatened there, and had gone back up to Galilee. And Jesus says, well, let's just hang around here for a bit, which in itself is puzzling. And then his disciples are wondering why he doesn't leave right away. But then when he does decide to go, the disciples are like, are you crazy? You're going back down to Judea where they wanted to kill you? So all kinds of displacement, all kinds of angst in this passage. And then when Jesus does get down to Bethany, it's too late for him to do any kind of healing because Lazarus is already dead. And then Martha, Lazarus' sister, well known by Jesus, close friends of Jesus, Martha says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And then she kind of concedes, because she knows she's talking to the great teacher, Jesus. She says, "But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." And then Jesus says to her, "Your brother will rise again." Almost nonchalantly, like, "Come on, your brother will rise again." To which Martha then replies, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And that response is kind of like our common response when we hear that someone has died and we say, "Oh, well, they're in heaven. That's wonderful." And maybe that is at times comfort enough. And yet, what is heaven? When you've lost a loved one, what is heaven? How do you relate to one who has gone to heaven, even though we say, "Oh, they live on in heaven"? How do you relate to that? And that's the question that Eric Clapton is asking in this song. Yes, he believes his son, little son Connor, is in heaven, but would you know my name if I saw you in heaven? Would it be the same if I saw you in heaven? How would you even know? Would you hold my hand if I saw you in heaven? Would you help me stand if I saw you in heaven? See, the belief is there. The comfort is there. It's so hard to grab hold of. I sat with Ed and Pauline this week here from New Life. They lost their son, Brandon, at 10 weeks old. Right about the time, just after Eric Clapton had released this song, you can well imagine that this song, Ed himself is a music buff, and so when he heard this song, he recognized that the questions that Eric Clapton was singing about were the very same questions that Ed was asking. Losing a 10-week-old son and then finding himself asking the questions, "When I'm in heaven, will my little son even recognize me? Will he run up to me? Will he still be little?" All of those, how do I relate to my son who's in heaven? So those are the questions that Martha is wrestling with. And then we're so used to reading the Bible and thinking that the Bible has all of the answers and that all of the answers are completely satisfying. We read on. And after Martha has said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would be alive." And to all of the questions, Jesus' response is at one and the same time, perhaps comforting and yet also confusing. He simply says, "Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the answer to all of your questions about how you relate to loved ones you have lost and have gone to heaven. I am the answer to that." Or in Clapton's words of the song, he writes, "Beyond the door there's peace, I'm sure. And I know there'll be no more tears in heaven." It's kind of funny. The song is called "Tears in Heaven," and this is the only reference to it. "There will be no more tears in heaven." Adds just to the angst of the song. We're imagining that there's all kinds of crying going on in heaven. But in fact, his reference is to the fact that there will be no more tears in heaven. Eric Clapton always considered himself a spiritual guy. Even early in his career, he began playing blues and rock music, pop music. Well, he joined the Yardbirds in 1963, and then started Cream, and did that for, I think, only 2 years. And then in the 70s, he was so deep into his drug addiction that he kind of even withdrew from performance. And during those years, he put out an album called Blind Faith. And on that album is another song called In the Presence of the Lord. Listen, I want you to hear these lyrics. This represents that Eric Clapton knew his spirituality. He was familiar with Christian faith and evidently believed. He sang this. I have finally found a place to live, just like I never could before. And I know I don't have much to give, but soon I'll open any door. Everybody knows the secret. Everybody knows the score. I have finally found a place to live in the presence of the Lord. In the presence of the Lord. He often used that metaphor of a door. Uses it in Tears in Heaven. There's peace, I'm sure, beyond the door. And he uses it again here, a couple other songs. He has this image of a door, passing through a door, entering into a place of peace and rest. If Eric Clapton didn't believe, he at least had this longing to find peace and rest in his own soul. That's that sense of heaven. In my years of ministry, I've never met a person who doesn't have that kind of longing. People who don't even believe. I did a funeral once for a guy involved in a drug gang in Chicago. And all of his associates talked about how this fellow went to heaven. He had just finished a collection for a drug deal and got shot in the back. And they all said, oh, he's in heaven. We all long for that. And Jesus' answer looks us square in the face and says, I am the resurrection and the life. Somehow I think Eric Clapton heard that, saw it, perhaps. He found grace. Let's talk a little bit about the tears. Finding grace is evident in this song. You heard the beginning of it. It's a gentle blues ballad. It has just this gentle flow to it. The tune lingers in your mind, and if you have any sense of blues music, it can get pretty raunchy, right? And I just imagine, I wonder, when Eric Clapton thought about writing a song in response to his son's death, you almost wonder, he could have easily come up with some raunchy song that expressed some of his anger, some of his frustration, some of his confusion about losing his 4-year-old son to such a tragedy. Man, he could have built some wicked guitar riffs around that. But Tears in Heaven, such a gentle blues ballad. And then the only reference to tears is when he sings this, I know there will be no more tears in heaven. Which is curious because it's easy to think that the song is all about crying that's going on in heaven. And maybe that's intended, that there's this angst, that that, yeah, maybe there is this crying going on in heaven, and yet Eric Clapton is holding on to the grace that of that there will be no more tears in heaven. In the story of Lazarus, Jesus himself, I pointed this out already, that Jesus seems so nonchalant about Lazarus' desperate illness leading to his death. They knew he was going to die from this. And Jesus seems so nonchalant. And it almost causes us to pull away from Jesus. Like, who do you think you are, Jesus? Until Jesus is in the midst of grieving people. So when he enters into Bethany, and he's already met Martha, and then he moves towards Mary and Martha's house, and Mary meets him, and Mary says to him the very same thing that Martha greeted Jesus with. And with tears, she says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And then we read, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Full stop. Jesus wept. See, all along, Jesus had been in instruction mode, teaching people that he is the hope for life, even in death. That's what Jesus was after. He wasn't being arrogant. He wasn't being nonchalant. Jesus wanted the people to see that he is the only hope for life, even in this awful mess of death. But then, surrounded in tears, Jesus shows the very source of that hope. It's not just a hope that you can buy. It's not just a hope that you can bargain for. It's not just a hope that you can, that you can be surprised with. No, it's a hope that whose source is the very compassion and grace of the Lord Jesus. And that is where Eric Clapton finds his grace. You hear it in this song. He knows he doesn't deserve that door of peace that he so clings to. In the song, he says, "I must be strong and carry on, 'cause I know I don't belong here in heaven." Eric Clapton lived a very, very messy life. He was a womanizer. He was into cocaine. He had a deep, heavy 3-year addiction to heroin. All the way up into the late 80s, he wrestled with alcoholism. And then to think back to his childhood years, again, in that song that I referenced previously, In the Presence of the Lord, he has these words: "I have finally found a place to live, and I know I don't have much to give. Here is a guy who is a superstar on the blues guitar. And yet he sings while the crowds are cheering and they're just swaying to the amazing guitar solos that he puts out. Here he sings a sense of remorse for the mess of his life, a sense of inadequacy, a sense of insecurity from his childhood. His ego is centered on his great guitar playing, but his identity. Who he was hidden in drugs and alcohol. Clapton seems to have met the Jesus who weeps. This tender, peaceful ballad reveals something of that to us, to say, I need the grace of God to enter into those doors. And in the death of his son, at least, Eric met that grace. I love this song. I remember the first time I heard it. I couldn't get it out of my head. And then when we were generating this idea of radio spirituality, I was challenged with, what song? I don't know. I don't know these pop songs well enough. And this was the one I had to latch on to. I love it. I love it for the words, but I also love it just for the tune, for that gentle, tender, blues kind of feel to this song. It got me thinking, why do I love this kind of music? Why do I love blues? Why do I love jazz? And I realized it's for the same reason that the story of Lazarus in John chapter 11 so intrigues me. It's because of the dissonance in this story. It's because of the dissonance in the music. Do you know what dissonance means? I'm not a musician. But in music, dissonance means including a disharmonious note in a chord. So, again, I'm not a musician, so, you know, don't anticipate I'm going to sit down and play. I wish I could play a blues tune for you, but I can't. Here's the best I can do. Here's a regular C chord, all right? C major chord. Yeah? Okay? You've all heard that chord before. Thank you for clapping, by the way. Okay. So here's the chord, right? C, E, and G. You know what blues and jazz does? It adds a note to it, a note that doesn't normally fit. So here's C, here's D, right? You put them together, it's like, oh, that sounds terrible, right? It's like, ugh, right? In blues and jazz, they put those notes together. Yeah. Oh, you got to hear it again. Okay, here's the normal chord. Here's the dissonant chord. Oh, don't you just love it? That kind of dissonance happens in life as well. In life and in music, those two things, the dissonance of music and the dissonance of life came together for me years ago. When I was in Chicago, I went to a blues bar. Sorry if you're offended by that. I went to a blues bar called Blue Chicago. Chicago's known for its blues, all right? So I walk into this bar. I'm working my way towards the back of the bar where the stage is. Crowds of people, it's all packed and so on. I'm heading towards the stage because I want to see these musicians playing, but the music is loud. It is loud. I mean, there were speakers on the floor right in front of the stage that are probably twice as big as the speakers that we have above us. I mean, they were just massive speakers like this, all right? There was one on this side of the stage, and there was one on that side of the stage. And as I moved my way up the bar, I see in front of these speakers, just blasting with with just amazing blues guitar, right? I mean, it's loud. And there's two old grandmas sitting right in front of the speaker. And they're just grooving. They're just like, oh, right? For this lanky Dutch boy, oh, that was dissonance, right? I could not imagine my Beppa sitting in front of a speaker listening to blues. Dissonance. In that same way, that's how I hear this Eric Clapton song. Dissonance. Clapton's life was messy, and it'd be easy to dismiss all of his music as simply not Christian enough. To dismiss this song even, because nothing about his life fits with what we would think of as good Christianity. And similarly, the story of Lazarus carries with it all kinds of tension. Jesus responds to the disciples as if he doesn't care that Lazarus dies. Dissonance. The disciples are like, what? I thought Jesus cared for people. The disciples, thinking Jesus is crazy for returning to Judea where he knows that people are out to kill him. Dissonance. Why would Jesus do that? Mary and Martha, frustrated that Jesus didn't show up when they needed him the most. Dissonance. And then Jesus calls out, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus is raised from the dead. Music. Music from all of the dissonance. And listening to this song, I think at least this is one lesson that we can take. We have to learn that kind of rhythm in our life. To make music from the dissonance of our lives. I'm sure at least some of you came to church this morning with dissonance in your life. Maybe you didn't even feel like coming to church, but you forced yourself to it anyways and thought, I don't know what good it's going to do. Dissonance in your life. We need to learn the rhythm of being able to make music out of the dissonance of our lives. Too often our inclination is actually to fix the dissonance or to dismiss it, to get rid of it, to have all of the right answers to all of the wrongs and all of the questions. We just want to make it better. We just want to fix it. We just want to get rid of the dissonance. But like Eric Clapton, dealing with all of the dissonance of his life, all of the things that don't really fit in terms of who he wanted to be and who he was. Like Eric Clapton, we have to learn to make music out of the dissonance of our own lives. Maybe there are parts in your life where you go, it's not really me. I don't know how it fits. Instead of letting shame overwhelm you, make music out of that dissonance. Place yourself in the mercy and in the grace of God. Maybe there are things happening around you in society and culture that you say, man, we got to fix that. But instead of fighting, make music out of the dissonance. Reveal the grace and the mercy and the compassion of God. Dare to weep with God's people. And then use that dissonance to make music. I've been wrestling with a fair bit of dissonance in my life lately. Things that are going wrong, which I just don't know what to do with these things. Things that are upsetting to me. And earlier this week, in my devotions, Psalm 100 was assigned to be the reading. And so when I saw it and I turned to it, it was Psalm 100, I was like, oh yeah, I know that psalm, I could skip it. In order to avoid the dissonance of being late for work. And then I thought to myself, wait a minute, what am I doing? I'm assuming I know the psalm, but I'm not listening to the word of God. And so I read the psalm. Let me read it for you. In the midst of all of the angst that I felt and all the frustration of my life and things going on in my life and thinking, oh, this is really uncomfortable, I read, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we're his. We're his people, the sheep of his pasture. With gladness. In the midst of all of the disappointment, all of the frustration, all of the despair, all of the dissonance in my life, I heard my calling to worship the Lord with gladness. That's what it means to make music out of the dissonance of your life. I invite you to gather up all of the things that don't seem to fit in your life and bring them to God. And calling upon God's mercy, calling upon God's grace, you'll be able to make music out of the dissonance in your life. Let's pray together. God, we pray. We pray for your Holy Spirit to dwell in us so that all of the things that don't seem to make sense in our life can be transformed by the power of your Holy Spirit. Transformed into gladness, into joy. Not because everything's going so super for us, not because we have all the answers to all of the questions, but simply because our hope is in you, Lord Jesus. You have the power to raise us from death into life. You are our life. So God, I pray that you'll reveal your grace to those of us who desperately need it. That you'll startle us by your embrace until we gather into your presence on that final day where there will be no more tears in heaven. We pray it in Jesus' name.
Please stand. How I long to be the heir of heaven, where pain is gone, mercy fills the street. To look upon the one who bled to save me and walk with him. Sin in face.
And as I was preaching, you were thinking, I don't have any dissonance in my life. Life's going great. So let me bless you with some dissonance. May God bless you with discomfort. Discomfort at easy answers, half-truths, superficial relationships, so that you will live from deep within your heart. May God bless you with anger. Anger at injustice and oppression and exploitation, so that we may work for justice and freedom, peace. May God bless you with tears. Tears to shed for those who suffer pain, rejection, hunger, war, so that we may reach out our hands to comfort them. Turn their pain into joy. May God bless you with foolishness, just enough foolishness to believe that we can make a difference in the world, so that we can do what others claim cannot be done. Go in the strength of God. Go in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.